With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
Mess with the bull and you get the horns, and I am nothing but horny.
Why be so nasty and so rude when I can be so dumb and so happy?
Okay, we need to get into it because your goal setting for 2022
is to be
iconic. It's to be dumb and happy. Is this accurate?
I am so sick of knowing shit. I'm just, can I curse here? I'm so sick of knowing shit. Like, it has just done nothing but like harm me and my mental health. Like, 2022 is the year. Don't ask me shit. Don't ask me anything. I don't know. I'm dumb. I'm pretty and I'm hot and I'm here and I'm just taking up space. Just vibes. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
That's a tagline. I'm dumb and I'm pretty and I'm hot and I'm here. That is your next tagline. I'm here for. Also, guys, just so you know, the number one form of self-harm is knowing things.
Truly. And reading especially and this year.
Knowledge is harmful. So.
Already, just like, I've known too much already this year. I need to, like, chill out for a little bit, you know? Not looking stuff up.
I don't want to know anything about anything. I just want to be in my closet.
I'm Larsa to this shit. Like, I am Larsa 100%. Pippen. I don't know. I'm on a different schedule, on a different filming schedule than the rest of the world. I don't know. You know, like Larsa's filming a different show than everybody else on her show. She's filming House Hunters. They're filming Real Housewives of Miami. And she's like, oh, cool. I'll go to lunch with these girls. And she has like no clue what's going on. They're fighting and she's sitting there. She's like, what is going on?
Wait, before we dive into this, sorry, you guys.
I'm too excited.
This is already an iconic episode. Guys, if you comment on the social media on IG for this episode and you say you feel dumb and happy listening, it is, I will be fully spiritually satiated. Guys, Andy's Girls, 281. I'm so excited to be joined by a return guest, a pal, a spiritual icon to many. You know him as Be Greater, aka Pet Shop Boy. You know him as the host of the B-List, and I know him as someone I have vibed with since the very day we met. Welcome back to AG. How are we today, Mr. Icon of Dumb and Happy?
Feeling dumb, feeling happy, just chilling. Good to be here.
I mean, listen, you have some thoughts in Miami, which we'll 100% get to. Mm-hmm. And I want to know your thoughts on Noella, which we need to get to.
Because I have a lot of thoughts there.
Okay, good. Because I really do want to know. And I remember when she was still recording, we were in like a little chat with a couple other content creators. And I felt like everybody was like very excited about it. And I'm curious about your thoughts watching now. But first and foremost, you know, as a enormously fabulous content creator and as a Bravo-holic as well, what do you feel most passionate about now, or do you feel exhausted by it all? Like, what's your sense of things in the Bravo atmosphere, either IRL or on TV? What's your focus? What are your thoughts?
I'm bored by more than I'm excited by, but the bright spots are pretty good. I'm really enjoying the resurgence of Miami. I'm excited for the possibility of a New York reboot, even though we haven't seen anything yet. I always have faith.
Okay.
There's some. Oh, New Jersey's coming back. I'm excited for that. Jersey always delivers. You know I'm a Jersey boy.
Yes, you are a Jersey boy. Yeah. You're friends with several of the housewives. You've been to their house.
Love it.
Jen has cooked you lunch. You kikied with Marge.
We went out to lunch.
Didn't
cook me.
I thought she cooked you.
No, we went to her favorite Turkish restaurant in Paramus. By the mall.
Okay, got it.
By the mall.
Got it. But you sat in one of her thrones, one of her 75 thrones in her house.
Yes, no longer. I mean, she's got the Z Gallery came in and redid the whole space up. Looks good.
Does it?
Okay. I'm excited for this new season. It looks great. Her nose looks good. All the women are back. I'm excited. New Jersey just gives me something a little bit different. But you know what? That's just a me thing, I think. I just have a personal affinity for that cast. I want to say those women, but it's like the men, too. I think all the men are great. It's the only show where I can stand looking at the men for longer than like 5 minutes. I don't mind them doing the husband scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. They tried to do it on SLC and it just didn't hit.
The more we find out about the husbands on Salt Lake, the less I want to see
all of
them
on my screen. Every single person on that show. Jenny's just having a moment. They're dragging her to hell.
Okay. There's no way for you
to say?
Not have heard this, but there are, you know, it's like a secrets revealed from hell that people stumbled upon or found many, many, many deeply racist.
I've been telling you all about that lady.
Posts. Okay, well, I mean, it's real bad. And then she put out this non-apology that was like, this account hasn't existed for a year. Meanwhile, everybody was on it hours before.
Hasn't existed for a year. I mean, this stuff was posted in 2020.
Right. She's a liar and a piece of shit. And regardless of when it went up, we know who she is. And it's a real bad look, I think, for everyone, especially because none of her cast members have commented, aside from Meredith being like, it's vile. But tell me, what are your thoughts? And have you felt a weirdness about Jenny since she joined?
Oh yeah, she took that picture with the AK-47. I knew she was a Trumper, that trucker hat, yeah, and his boot cut jeans. You know how Trumpers wear those ugly boot cut jeans. You could just tell she voted. Ooh, fuck that lady. Fuck her. I've never liked her. I told y'all about her, and now it's all coming to fruition, and I'm not surprised. Never have I seen a cast sputter out of control so quickly as this cast. Literally everyone has had something where it's like their lives are caving in on them. And this has not happened so quickly to any cast. Usually it takes about 4 seasons for people to start, like, right?
Spiraling. Yeah.
Jen's going to prison. She's going to jail. Like, big boy jail. Big girl jail.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's happening with Whitney Rose's finances, I don't even know. Like, Lisa, I don't know. It's all over the place. It's stressing me out. I need to just get to the reunion so we can be past this, because Salt Lake City kind of used to be like a fun, silly show, and it's getting a little dark for me. It's getting a little like, it's getting heavy.
The reunion recorded has already taped, with however many 6 or so episodes left to go. Obviously, there's going to be a heavy focus on Mary, who wasn't present to record and may have quit the show, may not, depending on what, you know, word on the street is the last couple days. But what are your thoughts about the conversation around Mary happening, especially a conversation around Mary's racist comments happening and Jenny, you know, who I assume is going to really hold her accountable? Meanwhile, we understand now Jenny's attacks on social, the majority of them were specifically anti-Black. I mean, how are we supposed to process it?
It's Utah.
I mean, but that you don't have to be, it's not a form of fucking residency. You know, it's not like, okay, are you a resident of Utah? Okay, great. So check here if you've said something that has been terribly triggering to a marginalized community. No, it's, I believe in Utah. I've never been there, but I believe that Utah is more than this. But like,
I think that Mary is a bit different because her stuff is coming out. I mean, listen, it's all terrible. They're all like, listen, you have to watch this show and understand that these are terrible people, but just pick which one you want to stand for now. But like, at the end of the day, Mary's an awful person. But do I think that her stuff with the comments that she made to Jenny, do you think they were with malicious intent? Probably not. She's just ignorant. Doesn't make it right. But I'm just saying there's like
still,
a different
still
intention.
Still racist.
Jenny's stuff is quite different.
Her, Jenny is being intentionally aggressive, belligerent, and she seems to be, her posts take pleasure.
They're aggressive.
Yeah, and they seem to be celebrating violence specifically against Black Americans. Like, they're very specifically saying, LOL, you deserve to be XYZ and George Floyd XY. They're horrifically, they are celebrating the idea of being racist. I heard from an AG who was like, you know, I just want to make sure that we're not taking away from how harmful Mary's stuff is. And I'm like, you know what?
You know, you can hate them both at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not kids. Like, we're not, I believe AGs are emotionally intelligent. Bravoholics are emotionally intelligent. You can understand that one does not dissolve the other. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, and I don't know, this could be completely fucked, but I also, in addition to saying Mary's comments were racist, and I do also think that intention matters.
Two things can be true at the same time.
two things can be true at the same time. The impact is what it was. Very triggering, very upsetting. And she, you know, deserved to be held accountable for that. Mm-hmm. Now we have Jenny's fucking shit. I have to say, as a white person, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with knowing what I did not know before, what you knew before, I did not know before, mm-hmm. about Jenny. I am a little uncomfortable with the narrative that's going to take place at the reunion, where Jenny is going to quadruple down on how harmful Mary's comments were. The only black housewife on Salt Lake City who's also not present, knowing what we know, that knowing the ways that Jenny apparently thinks about, I don't know, about black people protesting and the Black Lives Matter movement. I am very uncomfortable with her.
And the fact that they're probably going to spread it out into three parts, which doesn't need to be. Just give us a solid two-parter. That's good, especially if Mary's not there, because that's a whole part in itself. So we could just really cut it down. Listen, I said, I think, didn't we almost have it all with this show? To me, didn't Whitney said it best. We were almost there. You know what I mean? We almost made it to like the 3-season mark where it was like, this is a really good show. Not to say that like, obviously people still take joy in the show. Me personally, I'm a little bit over it. It's getting a little too dark and there's too much racist shit. And that's like, I'm dumb and happy. That's why I'm like, I like Jersey.
Dumb and happy.
We're not talking about politics on Jersey. We're just down at the shore fist pumping. I like Miami. We're just shopping and just talking shit. I like those shows because it's just like, I can't deal with these racists who carry AK-47s and just like talking about slang. It's like, it's a lot. It's getting, you know, we got to like, they got to break it up. As a brown person, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't even want to watch it. It's like, they've got to figure something out, some kind of background check system. It's going to be really interesting to see Jenny double down on that and just try to like, obviously, because you know that Mary's not even going to be there. So you know that Jenny's going to go full steam ahead trying to like shit on Mary. Yeah. It's going
to
be bad.
And it's like Mary, it's not that Mary doesn't deserve to be shit on. It's just the fact that we know how Jenny now feels. She has made it very public and then attempted to sort of walk some of it back, except not really, because she's a fucking moron. Mm-hmm. She's like, she didn't get the dumb and happy. She was like, what about just stupid? But, you know, it makes me give a lot of advanced side eye to this because and you never liked her. And
she almost had me for a minute.
She had me last week. She had me last episode.
She had me at Cheesecake Factory. She walked in to what's his name? Dewey's office. Is that Dewey? His office with the bags at Cheesecake Factory. And I was like, oh, I don't know. She almost had me. I was like, I feel
canceled
her.
Out the other stuff.
But then, I canceled all of the other stuff. But no, fuck her.
Do you think that she's going to be, her future is in doubt at all? They've already started filming.
I think she was probably already filming, I'd imagine. And Meredith said in a tweet today, she said vile, and then someone wrote her and they said, like, say more than this. And she said, oh, don't worry, I will. And I have a feeling that that means that she's probably going to say something about it on the upcoming season, which means that I'd imagine Jenny's going to be there. This stuff came out after they started filming. I know that casting is still going on, though. There's still casting for other women that's been confirmed.
I mean, maybe they demote her. Maybe she becomes a friend of, and then Nicole's her way out. Do we even need her as a friend of?
She was already giving friend of energy.
She was.
You know?
And from the purposes of like trying to understand the timeline, so many of these posts, and there are just so fucking many, I haven't seen all of them. I honestly saw a smattering and was like, ooh, I feel gross. I feel very dirty. But, you know, she wrote so many of them in 2020. They were on her Facebook, and I don't know about Twitter, but she was started to clean up her Twitter this week as well when this stuff started to go viral. But do you think that there was any responsibility, or is there any kind of critique of production not knowing this? Do you think that they had any idea? Like, how does the timing of 2020 work out with her casting timing and shooting?
Well, I don't know when they started filming, but she said that but then someone said that the Facebook account was just recently deleted. So I don't know. I don't care enough about this woman to like I've never, I don't even follow her on Instagram. I have more followers than her. Shout out Jenny. I have more followers than you on Instagram. I do. I was literally the most unpopular new housewife ever. She didn't do shit.
She didn't do shit. And she lied about her account being invalid. It was up. She hadn't posted in a minute, but all of those posts were up. People have screenshots.
Yeah. She's got an AK-47 and her bootcut jeans, and she's probably a Trumper. You know she uses Facebook like fucking, ooh, they love Facebook. That's where they live. Her and the other aunties just like sending back Blue Lives Matter memes. That's where they thrive. She's probably so sad. That's her platform of choice. That and Reddit probably.
Oh, do you think she's like?
You think so?
You know, equipped enough for Reddit? I don't know. I feel Dewey like Dewey could be. Like I don't know. Yeah, Dewey could be on Reddit. I could see Dewey living his best life on Reddit.
Yeah.
And YouTube watching. Oh yeah. YouTube conspiracy.
Absolutely. Conspiracy theories. You cannot tell me Dewey's not in the comment section of YouTube. Please, on Twitch.
You're not allowed, I don't think, to film unless you're vaccinated. So I don't know how that worked out either.
Get rid of this woman. I can't stand it. Like, another fucking season of this. Like, dealing with these anti-vaxxers, AK-47, bootleg Jinko, whatever. You know? I like the dumb shows now. That's where I'm at.
Okay, so tell me about your dumb show of choice.
Miami. So it's been getting better and better. There was a little slump there because I think they gave too much space to Gertie. And I was like, at first I loved Gertie, but she doesn't have enough story going on. And they were kind of like showing too much of her. But now, I don't know if you saw this episode that just came out like today.
I texted you. I was watching it.
Larsa came alive. Larsa showed up to class. I'm obsessed with Dr. Nicole. She gives me, I was talking to Stephen Krugel. Shout out Stephen Krugel, also known as Faces of Bravo. We were talking and we both agreed that she gives us Ashley Darby energy, Dr. Nicole, doesn't she?
Oh my God, that's such a good comparison.
So true.
We love her for it. Wait, tell me more about that. Tell me more about the similarities you see between them.
Just an instigator. She's kind of new to the group. Even just her physicality, like she's smaller than the other women. And she's kind of got a daddy issues going on.
She's punchy, she's way smarter than the rest of them, and she's more of an observer
and just kind of like critiques. I love her. I think she's smarter than everybody else on that show. And like I said, Alexia's the queen of Miami. She's the blonde Teresa Giudice.
Oh my God,
even looks like her, physically looks like her, even just like acts like her, has the same kind of like old school mindset. You know what I mean? Love watching that. She's giving so much that I don't mind a character like Larsa who gives nothing because it balances out. Alexa's giving you three different storylines in one season, and then Larsa's giving you nothing, and everyone else in between, it just works out.
I feel like they're really good at filling up the space.
Yes.
Of like cast cohesion right now. Like the newest episode I thought was so fucking strong. Nicole swearing on her child and then essentially being like, Alexia,
can you do that?
Join me in this?
Can you do that?
And Alexia's like, I don't think I wanna lie in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, iconic.
So good.
Iconic. Yeah. And Lisa, I thought, came alive too and was also like really interesting. That point when she's like, listen, at the end of the day, people talk shit about me and I'm confident enough in myself, regardless of whether she believed it. I actually believed her when she was saying it. She's like, I feel confident that I am a good person and that you will see that. And if you have misconceptions, just hang out with me more. I actually thought that was incredibly mature of her. Very emotionally mature and balanced.
Don't think that that's the Lisa that we would have gotten. What, 10 years ago, you know, obviously a different Lisa.
Totally.
But can I say, though, on that same note, going into it, I was like, oh, I'm so happy that the older cast is back, like Adriana and Marisol. They're grating on my nerves. Adriana is, I'm so glad that she's only a friend of, because her energy is so negative and just like it's so put on. And the stuff with Julia, who appears to me to be stunt casting, I don't know, just because I can't understand why she's even in this group. She's the most unfabulous one. She's on a farm in Broward County. Like, it's so unfabulous. It has nothing. I've never even seen her speak to anyone on the cast besides Adriana.
Oh, yeah.
Is she a ghost? She might be like a ghost that follows Adriana around and Adriana talks to her, but literally no one else has addressed her. Whenever she comes in and out of the room, everyone's just like, anyways. She could be a ghost.
Is she a ghost? Oh, my God. You're literally
a ghost. The ghost of Broward County. I can't.
Oh my God. God. But wait, tell me more about Adriana, because I think you're 100% right. And it's also,
yeah,
it's a weird thing to see someone who was so important in the first iteration of Miami.
Trying so hard to remain relevant. Yeah.
But she's also flailing. It's like she looks kind of, you know, a little kind of out of it, slightly unkempt. And everyone else is like glossy, high fashion. And
you lost me at
color
contacts. I don't trust anyone with fucking color contacts. I don't do it. Unless it's like, well, does Kenya Moore wear colored contacts? No, she doesn't.
I don't know. If she does, it's fine. Honestly, it's okay for her. Kenya does, I'm fine.
It's just, yeah, you're not supposed to trust her, so it's okay. But like Adriana is just like, I don't know. There's something about her. It's just like so deeply unlikable. I don't like really care to see her for another season on my screen. Marisol is the same. I feel like she seems deeply, I mean, oh, you're liking her right now.
I'm giving looks. No, tell me more. No. Tell me more.
I mean, listen, she serves a certain purpose, like at that dinner. We would not have had a good dinner if she had not been kind of coming for Nicole so hard. So I'm glad that someone did.
Marisol,
she's been studying Housewives, that's for sure.
She has, and I feel like she's also settled into herself. And I think, since Mama Elsa, and I watched, I watched all of it? I've already, like, forgotten. That's Mama, the spirit of Mama Elsa saying hello. We love you. But I watched, I think, a clip from Watch What Happens. It's like, did I watch the whole thing? Where she talks about the idea that she feels like she's bringing Mama Elsa with her. Oh, and she said that on the newest episode, too. Like, she feels like Mama Elsa is with me on the ride. People thought she was so funny and so fun. And I want her to live through me and through my experience. And I feel like that's happening. Like, I think that we're seeing a little bit of a breakthrough with Marisol. And I love her on the show as a friend of. I think she's so good at being a friend of. I love seeing her. I love seeing all of the estate jewelry, diamonds on diamonds on diamonds. Like, and her relationship with Alexia, I think, is really helpful, especially now that we know that, like, maybe she was talking shit or something, or Alexia was talking shit, whatever's happening. I like her on the show. I really enjoy Marisol. Like, I know that, I don't know, I really do.
A weirdly bubbly and happy show for a show that is so bogged down by ghosts. You've got Julia, you've got Marisol. That's constantly kind of always in the background. You've got Alexia, who's haunted by ghosts. All she does is talk about, you know, her father or her ex-husband who was murdered or all these things from the past. You've got Julia with her daughter, or her baby that was killed, the infant.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Gertie with her brother. It's a lot of ghosts.
There's a lot of pain happening. But wait, the thing with Alexia, because someone said this on an episode and I heard from several people. So Alexia's ex-husband Peter's father is still alive.
Oh, is he?
He is still alive. No, he's still alive because I heard from several people. So
he's
just
in some Netflix documentary.
Fact check, right, about, I don't know, living life.
Sorry.
And doing great in business, I think is the name of it. Business 101, business ethics with Alexia's ex-husband. But no, there is a lot of sadness, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, with a lot of the storylines and understanding these women more. And yet, the show does feel really light.
I think that this show would be better than Beverly Hills if they were given the Beverly Hills budget. Like, they have so much more story going on and so much stuff going on in the fucking background. Mm-hmm. And if you gave them Beverly Hills' budget, it could be, like, probably the best of all of the franchises, I think. Just because they really do each come with, like, so much baggage. I mean, really.
what would an increase in budget get, aside from, like, a
More episodes.
Superstar vacation? Oh, okay, I got it. Got it.
More,
like, a
episodes,
production budget. Okay,
more
got
trips.
It, got it, got it.
I mean, come on. True. The Hamptons, let's, like, you know... Yeah. People go back and forth from the Hamptons to the Miami. I don't know. I just think that, like, to me, Miami's so much more of an interesting show than Beverly Hills, you know, the cast.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It's characters.
Yeah. And also the Erica stuff is so dark that it's like in Miami, there's a lot of sadness. The Alexia thing is like an hour's worth.
Oh, I'm over the Erica stuff.
Well, of course. I mean, it's exhausting.
I don't want to see that woman on my screen again. You know, put her underneath the jail, but I don't care at this point. It's like we have to talk about it for another full season and all of her legal stuff. I'm just going to be so worn out. I'm like, I don't really know where they're going to go from here. They better find something.
I don't know what they do. I mean, I assume that it won't be as much in, because we watched it sort of unfold. I assume this upcoming season is more like she's strategizing how to settle.
She's not, because she's probably not going to get any time. She'll probably settle.
Yeah, she's not charged with anything. Yeah, it's a matter of trying to figure out the money. So I assume that that will happen, and people who want answers will never get them. But hopefully the story goes on in the sense of there being other stuff versus Miami, as you're saying, which is like a well-oiled machine in the sense of casting. I think aside from the Gertie stuff, which I don't disagree with, aside from the Julia stuff, which I actually I would like to see Julia without Adriana.
Yes,
I would like to see Julia
just
to see.
I think that if you took Adriana out of it, I think it could be interesting. But it's like I said, I have not seen any of the other women engage with her at all in any capacity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's always Adriana, you and your friend Julia are going to be in this room, but Julia's not even there when they're talking about her. So it's like, have they ever seen Julia? It's very weird. And there's a lot of women. There's a lot of moving parts.
Women.
Kiki is always there. She's talking about Kaka. I got a caca. It's like, it's just weird. She can't understand a fucking word she says. I don't know if she was ever supposed to be a full-timer or if they always knew that she was just going to be this like strange giraffe in the corner of the room. I'm into it though. I mean, love Kiki.
I love her. I think she's a great energy because she's so random.
She's gorgeous. She shows up with an infant on her hip and it's like, you have a kid? Who is this woman? Like, she just shows up at people's houses every day and I'm like, were you ever supposed to be? I don't know. It's so interesting.
And how do you feel about the Dr. Nicole of it all unfolding? Like, who do you think is in the power position will triumph? Or are they just going to call it a whatever and keep it moving? Like, do you think that there will be a certain point where Dr. Nicole wins the fight of Dr. Nicole versus, I guess, Marisol and also Alexia, kind of? And I guess everybody else?
Potomac territory where... originally there was so much talk about who is the matriarch of the show, right? It was like Karen versus Giselle. At the end of the day though, at this point, like how many seasons are we in? 6 seasons? I think it's pretty fucking even. Like, I mean, save for Robin. She's not running nobody. But it's like people, Ashley, she ain't running nobody shit. All she's doing is in some storage unit with her bedazzled dad hats that she's selling on eBay. I don't know what she's doing, but Ashley has just as many fans as Giselle does, as Karen does. Like, there's not really, it's kind of an even playing field in Potomac, right? Wouldn't you say?
Do you think so? I don't, you know what? I'm sure you're right, but I don't think of Ashley in that way. I think of it really as I think it's because the narrative has been so successful. I think of it as Karen versus Giselle, but now that makes me, I don't think of Ashley.
I think of all these characters as like such equals. I think that Ashley has brought so much to the show that I think that 100%. It's just like, you can't take her out. She's an integral part of the story. I think that the same is going to be true of Miami, where they're all bringing so much. So I think it's not really going to be a matter of like Alexia running the show. I think it's going to be like one season Alexia is going to have a ton of stuff. I feel like Dr. Nicole with her home life stuff is so interesting. There's a reason why her and that man are not engaged, or I guess they're newly engaged now, right?
They just got engaged.
Their house is gorgeous. Did you see it in Architectural Digest?
Yes, I was looking at photos of it before. One mind.
I mean, like, I was like, very bland, but like in a good way. Gorgeous. No,
but money.
But money. Yeah.
The kind of money, not Lisa money. God bless her. I mean, there's a reason that Nicole was talking.
There was nothing tacky about it. There was nothing tacky about it.
No, it was when you have that much money to have like a classic look in I die for Miami, but like in Miami, so you're getting the best of both worlds. It's incredibly, it's very modern, and I thought very, very chic. I thought it was gorgeous.
That's why I really like Dr. Nicole. I think she makes the show look good.
And they have a plane with her fiance's fucking name or face or whatever the fuck on the side of it. We need more.
Yes.
And a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, I love to see it. Maybe we see a wedding with them next season. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. These other girls aren't fucking with her. I know that much. Gorgeous little kids.
I mean, they're trying to.
She's an anesthesiologist.
She's got the dad issues. She's got the, you know, tension, not really tension, but like awkwardness with the mom, because the mom's trying to get her to have a relationship with her dad. And she's like, but I don't like him. And also he showed up to our filmed meeting drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot going on with her.
They filmed the reunion today.
Yeah, in the snow, snowing outside. I've been told I stepped outside. I'm told it snowed.
I think I saw some snow. I'm told.
Right? I don't. Literally, there was a storm watch. Did the storm happen? Was that like on Monday? And I like completely missed it. I have no idea. But how do you feel about the reunion taking place in New York? And what's your expectation for the Miami reunion?
I'm just thinking about the couches and what's that looking like and where's Julia going to sit? And there's going to be so many people. They invited all of them. Literally every, I think everyone except for Kiki. Poor Kiki.
Which makes sense. I mean, she's not.
Oh my God.
Really in this.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Kiki, say oh my God one more time. Oh my God.
Who called her out for that?
Larsa.
Who called her out? Was it Lisa? Larsa.
Larsa. Larsa. Like, Larsa, say it one more time. She goes, oh my God.
Larsa really came alive. Bring Kiki around a bit more.
Yeah, I love it. Kiki's giving like kind of weird friend of energy, very kooky. Mm-hmm. I need her to be just a little more off. She's a little too perfect, but okay. Bring us a little more kooky friend of energy.
And what are your expectations for the reunion itself?
Nicole versus everyone. I'm obsessed with it. Let's go.
Really?
Hope so. She does so well. I have faith in her. I have faith in her.
It's interesting because she is an anesthesiologist and, you know, is in a relationship with a lawyer, I assume a litigator. Mm-hmm. She gives big lawyer energy. She really does.
They were talking about being lawyers or something like that, or something about law school. And in my head, I was like, oh, wait, she's not a lawyer. She's an anesthesiologist.
Right. And Alexia said
she reads books, which, by the way, is already putting her leagues beyond the rest of these women. She likes to read. So,
which, as you guys know, we do not encourage reading here on, unless you're dragging someone, don't read books.
I'm speaking from memory. I used to read.
Right. So. We don't anymore. We watch and read from there.
Speaking of friend doves, though, I'm not that excited for Atlanta. Sorry to jump over.
No, tell me. Why? Friends of, are you thinking the I'm Marlo nervous. Ascension? What are you
not,
thinking?
It's not giving me, I don't think that we have like major, listen, I love Sheree. It's always a good time when Sheree comes back. It's mm-hmm. never not fun. She's always mm-hmm. going to do something crazy. 100%. But I think there's a flavor missing. I don't know. It's just like there's, I don't know. We've got to do more changes. We've got to bring in more new people. I just from what I've heard too, from like the background, I don't think they really have that much. Me. I just don't think they have that much this season.
Do you think that they were nervous. Prepared for Portia to leave? Do you think that that took them by surprise or
I don't know.
They weren't surprised, but they just weren't. They just don't
it doesn't
have
seem
a,
like they were because
fit.
They gave her show immediately. So it was kind of like they had a backup or like had that planned already. But mm-hmm. honestly, maybe it was for the best because Portia's been spiraling ever since. I haven't seen her show, but have you seen? Apparently, she tried to fight Dennis's mom. The whole thing is a fucking hot mess.
I saw the first episode, and I saw the clip of that fight, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is classic Portia in a way that I didn't want anyone to see again.
It's so funny. Weren't you just in the New York Times for, like, all of your philanthropic endeavors, and now you're fighting bitches on a scroll? What? It makes no sense. I've never seen someone squander so much, good fanfare. She got on this show and it's just like fighting Dennis's mom and in Cabo or wherever they were in Mexico. It's, I don't know.
We didn't need to see it. It's not that she doesn't deserve a spinoff. She absolutely did. But there are certain family dynamics that become too sad, that are too complicated. Obviously, we knew the Simon shit was going to be really complicated, but it turns out the person people are empathizing with in that is not Portia herself. That's the biggest problem.
Do you typically like spinoffs? Of Housewives?
So that's such a good question. My go-to all-star Bethany. Gold standard, you know it. And I don't consider VPR a true spinoff. It's like its own thing. But Bethany getting married and Bethany Ever After, I own all three seasons.
Dark stuff going on.
I have seen them. Some dark stuff with a dress mannequin hanger with the fucking pin on it and her 40th birthday and that boat from, that was the true OG boat from hell, right from hell. Some dark stuff, but iconic storytelling, tension, wild fucking shit. I don't know that we necessarily thought about ourselves as empathizing with her. That wasn't as important, whether or not she was she hadn't towed the line into like extremely unlikable, which I think she did following or toward the end of that. But it was just really interesting. She's an engaging character. And the Portia stuff, I mean, like, I didn't watch Candies. Oh, no, I watched a little of it.
Never seen.
I didn't watch them go skiing, but I fully supported it because Candy is naturally just a superstar and has so much interesting storytelling.
Candy, it's and Mama Joyce for
I
me.
I watched Teresa, I mean.
Aunt Bertha. They said they was looking for you and they was going to try to blow you the fuck up. Yeah, that's what they said. They said they was going to look for you. He's coming to your office and he's going to blow you the fuck up.
Oh, God.
So good.
I love.
So good. Do you have a favorite Aunt Mama Joyce moment? There's so many. Sorry to keep getting off topic. I just keep thinking of these.
No, I'm so into this. I mean, like, this isn't a favorite moment, but I do remember, because I've recently rewatched a bunch of the Atlanta reunions, and her talking about wanting to wear black to Candy's wedding was so cringe, but also kind of canon a little bit. I was like, oh, the fucking balls on this woman.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have a favorite, because a lot of them have been tough.
Her fighting in David's bridal. Coming out, what I drag you like you was a damn rag doll. You someone's mama, girl. when she's like fighting, she's like, you someone's mama. I love Mama Joyce. So problematic. Love.
So problematic.
Love. Wow. Best remaining mom. Best living mom. On all these franchises.
Best living mom. Okay, wait. I can't think of anybody.
Used to be Mama Elsa.
Can't think of my mom. Yeah, obviously. Mama Elsa for days. Orange County, nobody. Beverly Hills, was there a mother?
There, Lois.
Lois, to me, may her memory be a blessing.
Who's cool or whatever, but it's not like, it does not giving what Mama Joyce gives.
Lois is, but Lois was just seemingly just like a genuine, nice person, sort of delighted in this later stage.
She's an old lady.
For Rena. Yeah. Checks out. Who was?
Oh, this nice old lady.
Living in her 90s. Yeah, Mama Joyce.
Mama Joyce
is
a different flavor. You can drink with Mama Joyce. Mama Joyce.
Just circling back to the Portia of it all. So what do you think? How does the sort of negative feedback that a lot of people have had about her spinoff, how do you think that potentially will influence her value as seen by the Bravo community, her return to Atlanta? How do you think this will play into her future on the show after the spinoff ends? Her future on the network after the spinoff ends?
I think that her spinoff ends, and I don't think she's offered another bite at that, but I think that she does return I foresee her returning to Atlanta in about 1 to 2 seasons. I think that was probably always the plan. It makes sense. They left the door open for her, and I think there's still some people out there for her. Might even be the season after this one, who knows, but I don't see this being the end of the road for her. But I think she probably also wants to like live some time off screen, maybe get married and just like actually do that, as opposed to being like on camera getting judged about her relationship with, what's his name? What's his, Simon?
Simon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason, I guess because I think of them as so influential, certainly to the franchise and to the network, and because they're both no longer on the show, what do you think of a NeNe return in conjunction or not with Portia returning?
I think we're so far gone.
Do you?
I do. All the racist stuff. The racism stuff, it's like, if you think this about your employers, then maybe don't work. I don't know. It's like, it's just like she's tried to litigate them, right? Like she, is that the right term?
Yeah, I mean, she did it's the right term.
Didn't she hire counsel to like potentially...
She did an Instagram live with Ben Crump where they talked a lot about like sort of treatment and the problem facing Bravo and a lot of networks when it comes to an imbalance in how they treat productions featuring black versus non-black talent.
Yeah.
That there's a difference and a divide. But I don't think she ever filed suit, not in the way that Vicky did.
Yeah.
Where Vicky's like, do over. Like, I don't think she ever did that.
I'm not privy to like all of those conversations and all of that stuff, into the inner workings of what the production, all of that stuff. So I can't really say. But outside of that, just like her value on the show, I think that she was so difficult to seemingly work with. She's not fun to watch. She doesn't even want to be there. I don't want to go through that again. We've already like had her back, tried to make it work for 2 seasons. It was miserable watching her. I think that Nene's best when she's really good friends with Kim and the two of them are get together.
Wow.
And she's like happy and having a good time. But when she is not, it is just like miserable. She just drowns all the fun out of the room. And she's like not able to bounce back from fights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kenya is also the same a little bit for me. I don't really love Kenya either for that same reason. I think that they
really,
I don't love a lot of the people that are left on Atlanta, to be quite honest. I don't know.
And Atlanta is a show that you love. I mean, you love
Atlanta.
No,
I love the classic Atlanta when it was like Phaedra and all of those. But like the energy was different. But mm-hmm. when Nene came back, it just felt like so all we did was fight. And I don't know. And everyone's so good at their jobs at this point. And everyone feels mm-hmm. like coworkers that are just trying to collect checks. It doesn't have the same vibe as like New Jersey. Everyone's yeah. like good at their jobs, but still enjoys yeah. having fun, and they can fight, and then they can make up, and then they fight again, and it's like, we could do this all day.
I mean, that's what was so entertaining about Ultimate Girls Trip was yeah. like you were taking these icons so out good. Of their environment, and they all just wanted to have fun, and they trusted each other because they're all successful, they're all famous.
Who was
you
the
know,
MVP?
To varying degrees of Ultimate Girls Trip. Oh my God, wait, hold on. Okay, wait, let's just, okay, wait. Okay, Teresa, Melissa, Kenya, Cynthia, Kyle, Ramona, Luann, who else?
I think that's it.
Somebody else from Beverly Hills? Okay.
That's it.
Oh God, I would say Kenya followed by Luann.
I think Kenya was the crowd pleaser and like that would be, you know, mm-hmm. the MVP, but my personal MVP, I think that it was like, that trip was most beneficial for was Teresa.
Oh, tell me.
I mean,
I don't disagree.
100% different than on her home show. Mm-hmm. She literally went on that vacation. She took an actual vacation. The rest of the women were on a business trip. Teresa literally brought only packed yoga clothes and maxi dresses. She was like, I have four teenage daughters that hate me. Mm-hmm. I need a vacation. All I do is clean. I'm just going to I'm going to do yoga. And I'm not going to fight with anyone. And I'm just going to eat potato salad for breakfast. And I'm going to take this vacation. And she did exactly that. She said, I'm not going to fight with this bitch. My sister-in-law, this bitch, I hate her.
Mm-hmm.
And she just chilled the entire time. Did not. Well, she fought once with Melissa. But that was one and done. That was quick.
I mean.
Yeah, who doesn't?
They have to get that.
Yeah, it's like,
way.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't be together unless it's like a form of, I don't even know, affection at this point. It's like they have to fuck with each other.
But
and
didn't
not
that just endear you so much more to her?
I think I 100% agree. And also, I've had such a sea change with yeah. Teresa over the last several years.
She's harmless.
She's harmless. I find her endearing, honestly. I'm mm-hmm. very nervous about the Louis storyline. I think yeah. she's gonna come off in a way that's maybe not gonna work for her. But from the perspective of the spinoff, I thought this spinoff was so great for her, was so great, honestly, for everyone. It also yeah. like showed a nuanced
Except for Cynthia.
Side of well, I was gonna say it showed a nuanced side of Cynthia in how sensitive she can be, which is not a critique. It's just, and also I want to know the timing around her not knowing that she was coming back to Atlanta and then doing this girls trip. I think, I think it was complicated. The only person who didn't come off in a sympathetic way, because it's almost impossible, is Ramona. who I think had like a couple good moments, but is Ramona. She's inherently unlikable.
Yeah. How excited am I part two or the second season?
Okay,
chaos.
With you brought up Phaedra, you brought up Phaedra,
love.
And
so problematic, my problematic fave, chaotic energy.
I mean, the subtitle for this fucking series is, you know, a quorum of problematic faves.
Yeah.
It's all people who have done wild and crazy things on camera or off, all in a fucking house.
I think the name of it is different, too. It's not called, I don't think it's called Ultimate Girls Trip. It's called
Good
Ex-Housewives. Ex-Housewives Club.
Oh, yeah?
Ex-Housewives Clubs. That's what I think it's called.
Is that tea? I don't know that I've known that. I don't
Brandy
know
was
that.
Posting photos behind the scenes of them filming testimonials for it. And there was like, you know, written on some paper that she was holding and it said Ex-Housewives Club, which is a great.
Oh, my God.
Genius. Why? First Wives Club?
Yeah. And also Bad Girls
yeah,
Club.
Yeah, true. Immediately. Brandy, do I need her to ever see her on my TV screen again? Absolutely not. Especially after the Denise stuff. I've never really cared for Brandy. I'm very excited to see Phaedra back. Dorinda, it's always a treat. It's always a treat to see Dorinda.
Are you excited to see Phaedra? Wait, the Denise stuff, but, you know, puts you off Brandy, which I understand and agree with. But the Phaedra candy stuff didn't take you off of Phaedra? That's so
briefly.
Much worse.
I know
to
it
me.
Is.
That's
it really
so
is.
Much worse.
I don't know.
And you're like, it's fine.
Listen,
it's
what did
fine.
I tell you earlier? To watch these shows is to understand these are terrible people. Just decide and pick your poison. And just like, once you understand that, you're just going to have so much more fun watching it. Because you're just like, at the end of the day, oh yeah, she's terrible. But she's laugh. It makes me laugh.
I think it's like, instead of thinking of like problematic faves, there is something to be said for literally picking your poison, because there are certain women where it's like, you know, this woman is terrible, or it's like almost indefensible, but people, you can't help who you love.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. It's like the theme of every shitty rom-com from the early aughts.
I used to call that woman Tamrat for years, and now I miss her. I can't wait to see Tamrat, you know, like.
And she's going to be on the spinoff.
Who do you think is going to be the most insane person, the most unhinged? Keep in mind, Taylor will be there.
Okay, can we go through the cast? Okay. Because, like, I always forget Dorinda. Eva's there, which makes no sense.
Dorinda,
okay, Dorinda,
Jill, Eva.
Jill.
Eva. Phaedra, I know, so right? Yeah.
No
Phaedra.
No
Phaedra. Eva's holding the camera. Brandy Glanville. Tamrat.
Brandy Glanville.
Vicky Gumbelson. And Taylor.
Taylor.
And that's it.
Okay, who do I think is going to
Can
like,
I also
lose
note
their mind?
More ghosts.
Yeah, tell me. More
it's
ghosts.
Mostly, it's
yeah,
like so many
ghosts.
Widows on this cast. Dorinda, Jill, Taylor.
Jill. That's sad.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. I know. I can't think of Bobby without like feeling so sad. I like miss him so much. But okay, who do I think is going to be absolutely a mess? I think, you know, would think most people would bet on Taylor, but I don't know how she's doing, and there's no way to find out. She's like never on social. Her social's like every 10 years. Like, look at Kennedy. But I would think, because of the timing with everything and Steve and what Tamra's
Vicky.
Attempting
oh,
to...
Oh, yeah, because I think she shows
yeah,
up and
I
it's
think
going
it's
down.
Gonna be the Vicky.
Yeah. Someone said that she showed
yeah,
up
Yeah, I think he's,
crying.
Like, breaks up with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard behind the scenes she, like, shows up and is already in tears and just going through it. And it's like a weird way to meet new people. And it's like, all right, well, I can't wait. Steve, what a dirtbag.
I wonder how What a dirtbag. And I wonder how Dorinda would react to that. Dorinda, like the host, I make it nice. Like, how is she going to react with someone taking up space?
Not well,
room,
bitch.
Soil?
Yeah. Right? Not well, bitch. No.
Oh, my God.
Are you watching?
Who do you think? Do you think it's... Yeah,
are you watching
me.
It just like that?
I have not seen the last 2 weeks for mental
yeah,
health
I know,
because
it's so bad.
It's so bad. But I guess yes, but I haven't seen the two newest
One
episodes.
Of the characters is said to have been written about Dorinda, like... Mm-hmm. Right? I forget the name of the character, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's like on the first two episodes.
I forget the name, but the scarf. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made like the handbags or whatever, and it 100%
yeah.
is her.
100%.
It 100%
so angry.
It literally yeah. is Dorinda. Yeah. Who of the cast do you think has the highest likelihood of returning to their franchise from this spinoff?
I think Dorinda. I think that they keep a soft spot, like there's a soft spot in Andy's heart for her, and I think that they're just waiting for the right time. And I think they've even said that. They're like, you just needed a break.
Yeah.
I think that...
Yeah, they put her on pause. They put her
it on sounds
pause.
To me like she was probably like a little bit of a nightmare to deal with production-wise. Mm-hmm. That was evident that last episode that she was on, you know?
Yeah, flipping out on
yeah,
the camera.
Yeah, insane.
People. Yep.
And she's the one that I would want to see back the most, I think. I mean, Phaedra would be great because she would completely change the culture again on Atlanta. She's so much smarter than everyone that's currently there. And she's so much quippier. Quippier? Is that a right word? Quip? She's snappier.
It is
yeah.
It is dumb
yeah,
and happy.
Dumb and happy.
Dumb
yeah.
and happy. Dumb
she's
and happy.
Quick.
But I don't think Candy would ever allow
no,
it.
No, Candy would leave. But maybe that has to happen in order to kind of...
What? You would choose Phaedra over Candy?
I'm open to change. I want to see things change. I love Candy. Candy, I love you. But Candy doesn't need this job. Candy's going to be just fine. Sonia, I worry about Sonia. Sonia needs this job. So it's like a little bit of a different, I don't know. I just feel like Phaedra, when she left, it was like, oh, you could really feel the difference in the show. She's so good in testimonials, you know?
Can I just pivot a little bit to casting about something else? And I do want to get your thoughts on your favorite franchise ever of all time, Orange County. What do you think is going to happen with the New York cast generally? Like, how do you think this is?
Here's what I think is happening. Yeah. And here's what I hear.
Yeah, because you hear, you know things.
But I'm not saying that I've told this by anybody. I just...
No. But yeah. It's like someone telling you on background, yeah. You know, like versus a drug lord. Yeah.
Not returning to the air until 2023, which is honestly, I think, the best idea ever.
Totally agree.
Best idea ever was when, you know, that lull between season 4 and 5, and they took off an entire year to make it right. Mm-hmm. That was the smartest thing they could have ever done, as opposed to rushing back in.
Absolutely.
Make us miss you again, because right now I'm hating everything about it. Up and down.
Absolutely.
What do I think that they're doing personally? I think that they're probably waiting I think they're probably waiting for Ebony to walk away. They're probably That's what I think. I think that they're like holding off on production so that they don't have to like release her from a contract, so that they can like optics wise say that she walked away. Because at some point, Ebony's probably just going to be like, all right, well, fuck it. I just go be on some other show and sign a different contract and they'll like release. You know what I mean? I don't know how the inner workings work, but that's just she's kind of a nightmare to deal with, you know?
Ebony, see, this is what I don't understand about the talk of Ebony being difficult. You're in a cast with Ramona, Luann.
Oh, please,
like,
yeah.
How much worse? Ramona is like the single most difficult housewife to deal with.
I want
with.
Her gone.
So like Ebony being difficult because she's like leaking things. All of these women, Page Six is the honorary housewife. Like, how is that different?
What did I say earlier? Two things can be true at the same time. I want them both gone. Don't get it twisted. I would love it if Ebony, Ramona, and Luann all went. Or make Luann a friend of.
Yeah, I think Luann is a friend of. I think Luann and maybe Sonia is a friend of. Honestly.
If you can reboot OC and take out all those people, you can reboot New York City. Yeah. Come on. We have more interesting people.
You would get rid of Ramona and Ebony. You would maybe demote Lou or get rid of her entirely. And you would keep...
Sonia and Leah. And I think that Leah deserves the extra chance because she started during COVID. She had a really terrible last season. We've never experienced her like in a real actually functioning New York. It's always been shut down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's really fair. Actually, no, I guess they filmed the first season and we weren't shut down, right? It's hard to... Was the first season of Leah?
Oh, God. I don't... You know what's terrible? It's like I don't remember. I think... Well, no, I remember she couldn't do press. I remember she couldn't do press. Like, she never got the chance
to,
like...
But listen, she was handicapped by having a shitty cast. But... Like, Bethany walked out the day that they were starting to film. So, you've never really seen her with, like, a group of actually normal people. Cast. So, I would love to see Ramona leave. I would love to see Luann leave. I think... I don't want to talk about... The same way I don't want to talk about Eric. That word. Yeah. The same way that I am about like Erica's legal troubles.
Trigger warning. Cabaret.
It's so hokey. I don't want to see any more Cabaret. I'm sick of it. Luann has nothing else. I think she's given us her best.
Wow. And she was so great on Girls Trip though. She was so great. She's
okay.
I thought.
She's okay.
Really? I thought she was so open. She got emotional, I want to say. She was vulnerable.
Yeah, but it's like stuff that I've already heard before. It's like, oh, she's upset about the arrest. There's nothing new. I don't know. I'm tired.
Well, I do want to pivot a little bit and just get your thoughts on Orange County because...
It's pretty good.
Talk about a reboot.
But still not my favorite. You know, I still don't like love the OC as a locale. Mm-hmm. And Shannon, you know, I know that you have a thing for Shannon, so... It's never going to happen for me.
We have a special one-sided relationship. She does not know I exist, and I love her with all my heart.
Biggest surprise for me.
I picked my poison.
Going into this, I was like, I'm going to hate Noella because she's so thirsty. She wants to be a housewife so bad. I think that she's the best new addition to that show in a very long time. And I think that she is a better villain than Kelly Dodd because she's fun to watch. Kelly Dodd is just miserable.
Oh, my God.
Noella is fun to watch. Like, Noella is smart, but she's obviously, like, lying about something, and there's some stuff, weird stuff going on, but she's, like, it's...
Right.
And I love that she cares so much about being a housewife, but at the same time, seems to not care about anything at all. She does not care about being friends with Heather. She doesn't care if it gets her disinvited from the cast trip. She doesn't seem to care, but at the same time does, and she always looks great. She's just like a really good villain. Because you know why? She believes in her heart of hearts that she is a good person and that she's the good guy in all of this. But she's like starting all these fires everywhere. I think she's so interesting to watch. At least for now. Would you agree?
And also the fact that she seems so obviously enamored with her own value of entertainment. Yeah. Like you can tell when she's like putting on a show and like having a
moment.
But
she's good at it.
You can see her.
She's good at it.
You know what? Here's what got me, because I was like, it feels false. It feels performative. There's weird stuff with this relationship thing that I can't make heads or tails of. And some of this thing she says with like the dinner stuff, I was like, you don't actually think this. And like the private plane stuff, I'm like, shut the fuck up a little bit. Like, it's just a lot. You're putting on too much of a show. But when you just said, what did you just say? That she was like a villain, but more entertaining, or like a villain, but fun to look at?
Fun to watch. Fun to look at, too, because she's hiring a stylist for everybody.
Gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, gorgeous, but she's entertaining to the idea of Noella. I don't know why. And this I'm sure was obvious to a lot of people, but for some reason it just clicked to me when you said like villain, but entertaining it. Now I get it, versus like I rewatched the episode before we recorded and I was like, it feels on, it feels so much, blah, blah, blah. But like knowing that she is the villain-esque role, that actually helps me a lot.
Yeah.
But she's the antagonist.
She's the antagonist,
that
but it's not like
lot.
But it's not like repulsive.
With a wink.
Yeah, with a wink.
Right.
I feel
right.
if you put her on a couch by herself and everyone else on another couch at the reunion, I think she would be just pleased with herself. She would find a way to crawl out of that hole and still end up being entertaining to watch. I don't think that she like cares about being friends with everybody, and I think that's kind of like a great value to and she doesn't seem as like fragile as like Kelly was, which was kind of like you were like watching someone literally spiral out of, because she was like half wanted to be friends with Vicky but then kind of like hated her. There's just something interesting about I haven't quite placed it, because we are like only what, 6 episodes into the season? I feel like we've been watching it for like a year.
Wild. Yeah, same.
And also just of the new additions, I think she's the strongest, because like Nicole basically showed up and then left nothing. And Dr. Jennifer seems like an amalgamation of like old housewives. Like she's half Vicky, a little bit half not really Tamara. She reminds me of a bunch of different housewives put together with spare parts.
Really?
But I like her. I like Jen, but I just don't think that she's like as interesting to watch. The stuff with her husband is going to be interesting, because I guess they have like a lot of issues, and he hates her. That's clear. So is he gay? I don't know. He's hot. I love a big nose.
I don't think he's in any way attractive. I don't. Hello, we here in Andy's Girls, we support the strong profile movement.
He looks like a Muppet. I'm obsessed.
We stand with noses everywhere. But like, I don't think he's attractive. But I also don't like people who are like seen as like the epitome of, I don't know, of like attractiveness.
Yeah, I'm also dumb.
I like more of a character. We're dumb and happy here. And Gina and Emily, how are we feeling? How are we feeling about their continued duo?
Loving Emily right now. Gina's fine. Gina's growing into herself. But Emily, now that there's this different dynamic within the group, now I think she was always like this, carrying around a half-drinking jug of ginger ale that was in her car at the fucking boutique as she tries on one pieces, and she's like 2 times taller than the rest of the women.
Oh my god.
And she's eating a turkey sub in a sauna. It's like this was always who she was, but now that you have these like women that are like real thin, or you have like Heather Dubrow who's like, you know, it hits you a bit different, and I just like love it. I'm obsessed with her. I'm really loving this Emily. It's giving her the space to be her, and it just, she stands out so much different. I love Emily.
I totally agree on Emily, and I have to say I love Gina this season, and I love watching the two of them, but I also think they're great separately, and there was, to me, no bigger shocker than Gina and Dubrow having, like, this little friendship bond, and I'm here for it, because I guess opposites attract or something. I'm, like, entirely here for it. I think it's really interesting.
Glam's looking up.
Oh my god, she looks good.
Emily looks great too.
Emily looks phenomenal. When Emily was trying on the bathing suits, and you could tell she was like feeling herself in that fucking one piece.
Yeah.
It was like so sexy, so chic. I was like, yes, Emily, like look incredible. Yeah. Look and feel incredible and know that you are beautiful. Like it's a different Emily. You can tell the confidence. I wonder if it's related, honestly. to the hip surgery because she had so much chronic pain that I'm sure added so much stress and tension to her body, which comes out of you. It exhibits itself in a lot of psychological ways, and I'm in personality changes and everything else. Like, chronic pain is no joke. And I wonder if that's also helped her, you know, have this like new beginning. She's like having a refresher, and I'm here for it.
I met her right after that surgery. Remember that?
Oh, no. When you hosted, and thank God we fucking went, by the way, because who knows if it's going to happen again. But you hosted like the official, essentially, pre-BravoCon party. And we were in this like VIP room with
literally every canceled housewife ever.
Every now canceled housewife who were not at this point, guys, in 2019, we all love Kelly.
All these people in the room were so adored. Now it looks like a leper colony.
Adored. It totally does. And Kelly had gotten engaged the day before.
It's like us. It's Rick Leventhal, Kelly Dodd, Bronwyn, Leanne Locken.
Emily.
Barbara showed up. But Barbara, everyone, who doesn't love Barbara?
Barbara Kay.
Who else was there? There was someone else.
There was somebody. There was another housewife who was there, but I can't remember. Because it was like Bronwyn. Oh, maybe it was Bronwyn, Emily. And there was somebody. There was another housewife like on that couch. Yeah. That there was like three of them that they were.
I forget.
Apologies. Yeah. But it's probably somebody that we all consider problematic at this point. But that was quite the night. That was and Emily, I remember, was like struggling getting up and down because she was having so much hip pain.
Yeah.
Great. I thought it was like right before she had it, but it was right after.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time.
Oh my God. From where we were then
to where we are now.
What are you more surprised by? The Kelly turn of events, the Bronwyn turn of events, the Emily adoration? Anybody in that room that you're most surprised
honestly,
by in 2022? Oh, how so?
What a fall from grace that was. I mean, she was so beloved, and then like how quickly that went bad. It was overnight. We were like, all right, well, you're done. You know,
I
don't think that kind of behavior would get you kicked off a housewife show these days.
I think it depends on how I don't think it seemed very obvious that Andy was not exactly a charmed by her, and the way he essentially read her during the reunion with like everything from like the wedding food and the lying about production breaks and everything else, he did not let her get away with anything. I think that factored
in. She's probably the highest paid on that show at that time, so when you make a mistake that large and you're the highest paid, you're probably going to be like, all right, well, we'll get rid of you and get someone else that's going to be a little bit, you know what I mean?
Do you think that is a factor as with Jenny? Do you think that because she's on the, she's the least recognizable of any housewife on Salt Lake?
They could easily make her a friend of or just completely remove her from the, I think they have so many issues at this point going into this season that I could see them completely writing her out. Editing her out. Don't you think? She's not integral to the plot. Like, it's she's not really stopping the plot from going forward at this point. But
I mean, the thing I'm most afraid of is they're like, oh, well, this will be something good for her to discuss and to have it be a part of the story.
I don't want
to
talk. I don't want to talk about this.
Right. I don't want to, you know, parcel apart her PR blitz campaign apology tour where she tearfully apologizes to like the other women on the cast who have not yet spoken out. Or
I didn't like her enough as the inconsequential housewife. What do I want to see her as like the main storyline? You know what I mean? Yeah. So. Yeah.
Nobody's got time for that. But you're going to have to come on. I want to have you back, certainly after the Salt Lake reunions, because I'm going to want to get your thoughts on that, regardless of how you feel. Yeah. And certainly get your thoughts on the future with Noella and everything else. Can you tell the AGs where to follow you online, what you've got cooking, the B-list, the everything? Tell us what's up.
You guys can follow me on Instagram at Pet Shop Boy. I am @_PetShopBoy on Twitter. I get it popping sometimes on Twitter, but I don't really tweet that much. I just follow fun stuff. And I retweet stuff. I don't really get in the mix. My podcast is called The B-List with Pet Shop Boy, and it is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. We have fun guests. We used to have, or in the past, we've had like Leah on.
Yeah, you've had a bunch of housewives on. Marge, you've had on.
I have more fun, though, when it is like I have people that I have had on previously, like my friends. My friend Jonathan is constantly on. That's always a fun time. Yeah. We have Evan Real on this week. Do you know Evan Real from Page Six?
So you know what? I don't know him personally, but I have been meaning to do some sort of collab with him because he moderated a couple panels at BravoCon did a great job.
Yeah,
a great job. So did you just have him on the pod?
About to this week.
Oh, that's going to be great. About I to need to listen week. To that. Yeah. That's going to be a great. That's going to be a great
So we'll talk about stuff. Yeah, we'll probably talk a lot about Mary because we were both on Twitter Spaces the other night when Mary was, Mary went live on Twitter. You know, Twitter Spaces where you can basically just like talk. Do you know that? Yeah, do you use Twitter? You don't use Twitter, do you?
No, I'm not on Twitter for mental health, but
it's basically like Instagram Live, but it's just audio. And so
it's
she's
like
in
Clubhouse.
This room just talking.
Twitter Clubhouse. Yeah,
and she was just talking about everything. She likes Drake. She likes Chris Brown, of course, problematic. I mean, she hated Lemonade, loves Ramona, doesn't like Leah. Doesn't like Kenya Moore. Jen came into the room and started talking for a minute. A lot goes on. Twitter's really where it happens.
Ew, I hate that. I don't want to go back. Go back to it. It's not for me. And do you think that she's coming back? What do you think the likelihood is?
She said she's not in that Twitter Spaces, but who knows? Maybe they'll need her now. I don't think you have a show without Mary because I think she is such a fucking funky flavor that, you know what I mean? Who knows? She's a terrible person. I'm not just like I'm not
terrible.
Saying that she should or
terrible person, but maybe
obsessed.
Let's, yeah, maybe
obsessed.
We stand. Like whatever. Yeah. I'm curious about that because there was some fucking rumor. You know, there's always a new one every day that like maybe something was going to happen. So we'll see how that plays out. I think the Jenny stuff.
Watch
may
what
or may
happens.
We're gonna watch what happens live or on tape, depending.
Yeah.
Guys, the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. $2 a month gets you my kindness and thanks. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes. And the opportunity to attend exclusive Zoom Kiki's. Got one coming up in February. I'll tell you guys more about that on the next AG. And, you know, while you're online following Pet Shop Boy, the icon, the king of Instagram, give me a follow. Yours truly at Dame Gally. Right after you sign up to be a Patreon AG at patreon.com/andysgirls. I get wild on IG stories. That's like my new place of chaos. I love IG stories. I can't get enough. thank you for coming back on Andy's.
Of course,
Girls.
Always.
This was a delight. I loved
it. It's always fun. So hope I was good.
You were great. You were amazing. And the AGs will absolutely DM you and let you know how much they loved you on this episode. Hint, hint. Guys, I hope you're all doing okay. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.